Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a most excellent day. It was beautiful here on the East Coast, and we got a great show. It's all about empowerment here on Herb Talk Live. So thanks for joining us. We're glad you're here. We're going to have Dr. Rebecca Carley join us for the second part of the show. Yep, she's going to share some, I'm sure, some warnings, health secrets, empowering news. Of course she does. And if you want to visit her website, just go to the powerherbs.com website and go to the links area and click her banner to get over to Dr. Rebecca Carley's website. We are going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, because somebody special asked me to do this, what are the dangers of going into the hospital? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that, yep. Mm-hmm. And we do have a crack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and Semper Fi to our military, praying for them, praying for America. America needs prayer. We need life-saving from the wicked people that are in power. We definitely do. And if you don't see them as wicked, I'm going to put you on my prayer list. But we need a righteous leader, and we need people to wake up and vote for that person, and we need God to protect the voting process. Of course, all in God's will, right? So we're going to seek the Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. Now, without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. We're going to talk about this new study, groundbreaking actually, published in the Journal of Stem Cells. Researchers at UCLA Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center Department of Oncology say radiation treatments create cancer cells 30 times more potent than regular cancer cells. How's that? Oh, yeah. Despite killing half of all the cancerous tumor cells per treatment, radiation actually gives you cancer cells. It transforms other cancer cells into more of a cancer stem cell, which are vastly more hardy and treatment resistant than normal cancer cells. So if you want a lifetime of cancer, then trust the medical establishment to radiate it for you. Mm. Hey, that's from the horse's mouth. That's mainstream medicine saying we messed up. Okay, what else we got? Department of Homeland Security, guess what they're planning to do? We're going to talk about this with Dr. C. They are planning to build a high-risk virus research center in the heart of America. Oh, yeah. The Department of Homeland Security is set to begin construction on a new high-risk bioweapons research facility on the campus of Kansas State University in Manhattan. Critics are not happy about this. They said that decision is fraught with risk because the site they want to build on has earthquake fault lines in it. Oh, no. Well, you know why they're doing this, because they're decommissioning the old bioweapons research in Greenport, New York, you know, Plum Island. Yeah, that's been in operation since 1954, so it's got to go. They have planned set aside $54 million to construct this National Bio and Agro Defense Facility. That's what they're calling it. And the new facility will feature research on bio-level 3 and 4 viruses without any known cures, of course. Yeah. What else we have in the cracker? As of March the 16th, President Obama signed an executive order called the National Defense Resources Preparedness. I don't know if you heard about that. Apparently, the order states that the president alone has the authority to take over all resources in the nation, labor, food, industry, water, whatever, as long as it is done to promote, quote, national defense. Of course, you know, it's kind of vague. National defense could be practically anything, you know? I mean, if we had a pandemic, national defense. The power to seize control and take over these resources are going to be delegated to these authorities, the Secretary of Agriculture, who will have control over food sources and facilities, all livestock, all veterinary resources, all plant health resources, that means your herbs, your distribution of farm equipment even, and commercial fertilizer. Also, the Secretary of Energy, with all forms of energy, the Secretary of Health and Human Services in response to health resources, the Secretary of Transportation, the Secretary of Defense, and the Secretary of Commerce, all those materials. And, you know, some people fear in the United States that this is the government now claims power to actually simply just march in anywhere it wants to with the force and demand crops, seed, livestock, farm equipment, whatever you got, all under national security. Well, thought. What else we got? Sweetened drinks increase risk of heart disease in men by 20%. Yeah, American Heart Association, researchers published some results in the Journal of Circulation, and they found that men who drank 12-ounce cans or bottles of sweetened beverages, one of them a day, just 12 ounces, increases your risk of heart disease by 20% compared to men who don't drink sweetened drinks. Sugar, sweetened beverages, you know, like soda, we're talking about soda, sport drinks that may be loaded with sugar, whatever, boosts the blood fat, significantly increases your heart risk. Oh, gosh. Mm. And last but not least in the Quack Report, vitamin D, they say, helps prevent lung cancer. Lung cancer is pretty tough for mainstream medicine to cure. Actually, I think the survival rate is 2%. So now they're saying, hey, get some sunshine and kiss lung cancer goodbye. So they say vitamin D from the sun plays a vital role in your body fighting off lung cancer. Actually, lung cancer is one of the three most common cancers that kill men and women, with a statistics 1 million deaths every year. That's a lot of people. Okay, so researchers at the University of California in San Diego discovered a correlative relationship between higher rates of lung cancer and less exposure to the sun. So the further you are from the equator, the more cancer risk you have, according to the study. So a British Journal of Cancer in 2001 said that if you eat cooked or raw fish, it lowered your risk of lung carcinomas in the Japanese. And a Norwegian study said cod liver oil do the same. Vitamin D, cod liver oil, and you got it taken care of, apparently. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Why, thank you, Frank. Magical Engineer Frank was the inspiration behind this next segment of the show. How dangerous is a hospital stay? Well, let's find out, you know, because, you know, Frank asked me, radio engineer, magical engineer asked me to find out what the health risk is and when facing a hospital admission, okay? So actually, the medical community often does studies on this very thing, and they publish them in their medical journals. So for years, the medical and the insurance industries have pretty much relied on a study from 1997 that was published in The Lancet. Now, the Journal of the American Medical Association, or JAMA, also reported on medical errors and hospital causes of death. So how safe are you, and what is your risk of dying if admitted to a hospital? Well, you know, let's let the medical community speak for itself, shall we? Let's look at some of these studies. In that 1997 study, it was published in The Lancet, and it was called Strategies for Adverse Events in Medical Care. Now, this study was used as a rule of thumb until another study was published by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Now, this was by the Office of Inspector General. It was a November 2010 report, which was titled Adverse Events in Hospitals, National Incidence Among Medicare Beneficiaries. So, however, there was a recent study done in December of 2011 by two researchers by the name of Huck and Zoe, and they revealed a little bit more. Their report was actually titled, How Dangerous is a Day in the Hospital? A Model of Adverse Events and Length of Stay for Medical Inpatients. Yeah, that was a study Medicare didn't want to see. Well, let's talk about these studies a little bit more and how they reported these findings. Well, in that 1997 study, it told that patients, well, it told patients, doctors, and insurance underwriters that any hospital inpatient had about a 6% chance of having an adverse event. Now, in the 2010 report, it found that one out of every seven Medicare hospital inpatients experienced an adverse event, which brought the risk up to 44%. Now, these reports focused on the preventable adverse events. So in the 2011 study, it reported on the adverse events, but it put them into separate categories. They used a large database from public hospitals, and they found that inpatients had a 5.5% risk of an adverse drug reaction, a 17.6% risk of getting a serious infection, a 3.1% risk of developing pressure ulcers, known as bed sores, and for each additional night that the patient remained in the hospital, these risk factors increased by 0.5% for your drug reactions, 1.6% for your infections, and 0.5% for your bed sores. And in the data, they also took into consideration the age, the sex, if the admission was an emergency admission. They took into consideration the complexity of the health crisis and if the patient died and if there was any lying going on in these cases. Well, you know what? Let's define what they mean by adverse event, shall we? Let's find out what the medical community means by when they say adverse event. Well, in the scientific literature, the press, and the internet, all the internet sources, they tend to all agree that the basic definition of an adverse medical event or error is medical intervention that causes injury to the patient rather than the underlying medical condition. And, you know, lawyers tend to go a bit further, and they state that it can represent unintentional harm to the patient arising from any aspect of healthcare management. Now, most adverse events are human error, and most are preventable. Now, some examples are surgery gone wrong because of, I don't know, the wrong site, the wrong patient, the wrong procedure. Or you could acquire a foreign body from exposure to surgery. And what that means is the surgeon leaves his equipment inside you. You know, you wind up with a scalpel or something in there. What's some of the other things? There's often the problem with incompatible blood or organ transplants, organ donors. There's a problem. There is also the transmission of infectious agents from improperly cleaned equipment or infection of a surgical site. You know, you get MRSA or something, which are all very common. These are all common causes. Now we can't forget the administration of incorrect medicine or dosage and allergic reactions to the medications. Can't forget that. So in-hospital falls or burns from radiation treatments also occur. So there's a lot of things that can happen to you while you're in there. I mean, you know, it's not all about, you know, having to eat that really nasty food and having green jello. It's not about all that. Well, I want to talk about the JAMA report for just a minute, because in 2000, the Journal of the American Medical Association published a study on the risk we face at the hospital, and it was written by Dr. Barbara Starfield of Johns Hopkins School of Hygiene and Public Health. Now, this is an interesting report, because in her report, she exposed the third leading cause of death in the United States. Dr. Starfield, she broke down her results, her findings this way. 2,000 deaths annually from unnecessary surgery, 7,000 deaths annually from medication errors, 20,000 deaths annually from hospital errors in general, 80,000 deaths annually from hospital-borne infections, and 106,000 deaths annually from non-error adverse events from medications. And then Dr. Starfield noted that this is like 225,000 annual deaths in the United States from physician activity, making death by doctor the third leading cause of death in America. Wow. Obviously, you know, system-wide changes need to be made to the health care, but, you know, not the kind of changes proposed by Obamacare. Mm-mm. The question is, can or will allopathic medicine build a safer healthcare system? That's the question right there. Well, let's get a second opinion, shall we? You know, those are nice studies and everything, but let's just look. The National Academy also did a study in 1999, and they wanted to find out what the heck is going on in hospitals that too many patients are discharged without a pulse. Ooh. So their published findings were titled Preventing Death and Injury from Medical Errors Requires Dramatic System-Wide Changes. And you know what? That report's online, so you can kind of just Google that. So the highlights, though, of their findings were that medical errors killed 44,000 people in the United States every year. However, a different study that they also listed had that a higher figure of 98,000 deaths per year. Whichever figure you want to use, more people are dying from medical mistakes every year than from car accidents, breast cancer, and AIDS combined. So the deaths from medication errors were also assessed both in and out of hospital settings, and they were in excess of 7,000 people a year. And then I said, well, you know, this is just, you know, AMA, this is the United States. Let's see what, you know, any studies outside the U.S. on this stuff? Yeah. We're going to go outside the U.S. for a study on this very topic, and the University of Toronto found that death by pharmaceutical drugs kill more people each year than traffic accidents. They looked at data consisting of 2 million American hospitalizations, and they found that there are serious drug reactions within 12 months, resulting in about 100,000 deaths. So according to the Toronto study, adverse drug reactions, also known as ADRs, are 75% dose-dependent, suggesting that deaths are due to the toxicity of the medication rather than an allergic reaction. So the report did not include data from accidental overdoses or errors in drug administration. Had they included this data, the numbers would have been much higher, 200,000 annual deaths. Now, with these figures, the researchers concluded that the fourth leading cause of death in the United States is adverse drug reactions. So if you don't die from a heart attack or cancer, you most likely will die from allopathic medical procedures or drug therapy. And that was in the JAMA Volume 279, April 1998 publication called Incidence of Adverse Drug Reactions in Hospitalized Patients. So they kind of included that research in the Toronto study. Well, you know, the writing's on the wall, pretty much. Let's face it. Obviously, with just these medical studies, you can conclude that the FDA-approved healthcare in America has substantial risk. So, at the very least, these reports show that you have a minimum of a 44% risk of injury while under the care of your doctor in a U.S. hospital. So, America is basically known as having the best healthcare system in the world. So for what it's worth, you know, I checked that out for what it's worth. In 2000, WHO, the World Health Organization, analyzed healthcare systems in 191 countries, and they reported in the New York Times that France and Italy had the very best care, with the U.S. ranking 37th. Wow. Now, in May of 2000, the Commonwealth Fund also compared medical systems globally and found the United States to be ranked at the bottom. Now, I'm not really putting too much weight into these rankings since Canada and Britain, they have socialized medical care, and that beat out the U.S. Come on. So what could be worse than death by allopathic medicine? Well, long waits for the privilege of adverse events would qualify, I would think, yeah. You know, because people in Britain, what do they last? They wait 3 years for a dental appointment. Well, you know, I think history is going to show some things. I think it's going to show that allopathic health care was not about disease prevention. You know, sure, it is the best that we have for situations of trauma and stabilizing victims on the brink of death. However, the medications are a huge risk. Now, if you find yourself in the hospital, hey, former New York surgeon Dr. Rebecca Carley says this, get the heck out of there as soon as possible. And have someone that you trust watch over you until you can leave there. Wow. So the sooner the better, she says. Get the heck out of there. So the federal agency overseeing our healthcare system, you know who they are, the FDA, yes. You know, they have a shaky track record at best, and they know the statistics, and they know there are natural foods, spices, herbs, and even therapies that work at improving health all without all this risk. Yet this poor man's medicine, natural stuff, is in their crosshairs. So ask yourself why, when clearly more people die by modern medicine than by natural therapies. Well, it's time to empower yourself. That's how I look at it. Because most people entrust themselves to their doctors without a second thought. They don't ask questions. They don't research. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. In my opinion, this is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Let me just say this. If you were told you had stomach cancer and they say, well, we're going to give you chemo, and you go, okay, you know, wouldn't you kind of ask, well, what kind of cancer is it, and maybe do some research as to your options before you just jump in there with the chemical chemo? I mean, I would. Okay. But if you don't think, you know, it's dangerous, ask yourself this. Why is malpractice insurance so expensive or exist in the first place if it's not risky? Chiropractors, they pay 2% in malpractice insurance compared to medical doctors. And guess what? Naturopaths and herbalists pay zero. Zero. So why is that? Well, insurance underwriters understand that if you do not use science-based practices, which are licensed, but you use nutrition, there is no risk. So when government decides that you need to license nutrition, it is the day that everyone who eats needs permission to do so. So I want you to empower yourself out there. I want you to learn as much as you can now in natural therapies to help prevent disease. You know, it's easier to prevent disease than having to cure it. So prevention, think prevention. Now, you can empower yourself and learn as much as you can. A good place to start is the Power Herbs ebook. I wrote it. It's available at thepowerherbs.com, and it's just $14.99. That's right, 400 pages of information that's going to empower you. It really is. So this is a 400-page ebook. It has chapters on immune boosting, organ cleansing, natural therapies that help you beat addictions, herbs to avoid while pregnant or herbs to use while pregnant, how to make your own herbal tinctures, and a whole lot more, a whole bunch of stuff in there. So if you don't have the Internet to get this ebook, you know what? You can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, and you can have the book mailed to your local copy center, and they can print it off for you. Not a problem. Put it in a little binder. So we don't have the hard copy anymore. Okay, it's out of print. But we do have the file, the e-file, the PDF version, and the printable version. So if you need the printable version, make sure you let us know you need that, and we'll send it on over. You can call Apothecary Herbs. Yep, you can call them to get your Power Herbs ebook. You can call them up and get your life-empowering herbal kits, or you can call them for a free product catalog. That toll-free number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Of course, if you're outside the U.S., dial 803-746-0219. 803-746-0219. If you have Internet access, go to their website, thepowerherbs.com. You can get that ebook right off the website. You also pick up a free product catalog. You can even download the PDF version of the free catalog if you want. So you got lots of options. You got tools. You got information. You got product support. You got thepowerherbs.com. Your healthcare options just became endless. That's right. That's right. Well, I'm going to stop there because we're going to have Dr. Carly in a little bit. But before I forget, coming up here on Herb Talk on American Voice Radio, on the 19th of April, we're going to be interviewing Ty Bollinger. He is the author of Cancer, Step Outside the Box. Yep, and he's going to be with us, and he does have a website. It's called cancertruth.net, so you can check it out there. But he's going to be our guest. And, of course, we're also going to have Dr. Carly back with us on the 17th next month in April as well. So I want you to mark your calendars. Ty is going to be a really interesting interview on the 19th of April. It's Thursday night, 7 o'clock, and be here. And we're going to talk with him. And, of course, his book is everywhere. It's a bestseller. Great stuff. He covers everything, everything you ever wanted to know about cancer treatments in this big, huge book. I mean, this thing is, you know, over 400 pages, but it's a great read. It's easy to read. It's understandable. It puts it in understandable terms, kind of hits you like right between the beady eyes what the truth is, you know? Hey, I got to take a break, but Dr. Carly's with us on the other side, so don't go anywhere.
The stars, pull one down to you, shining on my heart, so you could see the truth.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
here on Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and it's the third Tuesday of the month. So you know what that means. It's Dr. Rebecca Carley. She joins us once again, and she's with us. How are you, Dr. Carley?
Well, it's getting pretty hot here. It's like 82, 83 degrees. I guess by June we'll be frying here in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's an early summer. It surely is. It surely is.
Yeah.
I have a ton of stuff on my desk here, but I'm going to let you jumpstart us as what it is you want to share.
Well, we can go any place you want to go. I mean, someone just sent me an article from naturalmoves.com about doctors in several Canadian hospitals are accepting bribes from patients to expedite their surgeries in publicly funded health care. So, of course, this is no surprise to me.
Well, and, I mean, if they're going to be paying doctors all the same, that'll probably happen here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because once you have to, you know, have public health cover you, then you're going to go on a list and wait months or years to have your treatment, and you're going to have to slip the doctor something under the table to get moved up the line, and this is happening in Canada. And we'll see if anybody gets prosecuted.
Well, you know, I had a cousin in London, Britain, living there for a little while, and she, you know, they have the socialized care there. And I mentioned this on the air the other week that she had a tooth that was bothering her, and she had a 3-year wait to see the dentist. And I was like, oh my God, Marianne, what did you do? She goes, well, I did the only thing a true American would do. I whipped out my passport. And I got on the first plane to the United States, and I took a taxi from the airport to the dentist office. You know? And then I told my listeners, well, imagine all of America like Britain. Think about it.
Well, and that can be fatal. I mean, if you've got a tooth abscess,
yeah,
and you don't get the tooth problem addressed right away, I mean, you know, the infection can spread very rapidly to the brain, so that's no joke.
Yeah, death by tooth. That's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So yeah, I just don't understand why enough people aren't, you know. Well, I guess they are up in arms. Maybe they just don't know what to do about it. So you're here. I'm here to encourage and empower people that there's other options.
Yes. Well, in a way, I'm glad about this because, you know, people have been brainwashed. This whole idea of insurance to begin with, you know, it's such an obvious scam in order to get people to, you know, just do what Big Pharma wants them to do. I mean, this whole thing, how did it get started? I don't know the history of who came up with this idea of insurance, but, of course, only Big Pharma solutions are covered, and, you know, in order to do anything that actually works, you have to pay for it out of pocket, and, you know, this is something people just aren't used to doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was looking at a journal, Journal of Stem Cells, UCLA, Johnson's Comprehensive Cancer Center Department of Oncology. Guess what they determined, Dr. C? Radiation treatments create cancer cells 30 times more potent than regular cancer cells.
Well, hello. I mean,
yeah.
What a surprise, but I'm sure that won't be, you know, filtered down to the people that have cancer that are getting radiation treatments. I mean, you know, I jokingly say, oh, you have cancer? Well, why don't you take a trip to Fukushima, you know?
Right. Well, you've been saying this forever, that, you know, radiation will give you cancer, and this is just confirming what you've been saying for, like, ever.
Right.
And but they're saying that, you know, it creates a more treatment-resistant cancer stem cell when you get radiation for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, isn't that wonderful? I mean, they put out these treatments. This happens all the time, you know, and with drug development as well. You know, something will be used on people for years, if not decades, and then all of a sudden they say, oops, sorry, you know, it turns out it's not good for you. I was cracking up tonight on the news. They had one of the talking heads talking about they've now determined that an aspirin a day will prevent cancer. I mean, when did aspirin become a vitamin? You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I was just reading a report to the listeners in the Quack report that vitamin D, very helpful at preventing cancers, especially lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of these cancer doctors have noticed the correlation that cancer patients have low levels of vitamin D.
Well, of course they do, because they're wearing sunscreen, because everybody's scaring them that going out in the sun is going to cause cancer. Of course, it's the sunscreen that's causing their cancer of their skin. And, you know, when you're slathering sunscreen on, you're not getting any vitamin D production because the sun is not getting to do its job. So, you know, it never ends.
Well, did we talk, I can't remember, did we talk about the trip that the CDC took to Guatemala to bring back a bat flu? Did we ever touch on that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, one of the CDC's researchers, Ruben Donis, took a staff, went down to Guatemala, and they captured the fruit-eating little yellow-shouldered bat that resides in Guatemala because it has an influenza A bat flu strain, which also seems to, you know, transfer to other animals like pigs, horses, and whatnot. So they take it back to the Center for Disease Control back here in the U.S., and they're trying to see if this influenza A strain matches any of the other human or bird flu strains to see if there's any compatibility, any components that make it like the others, and if there's any, I guess, real threat of it, you know, jumping from birds to humans, or if there's a way to make it do that.
Well, what do you expect these virus hunters to do? I mean, you know, these same monsters, it wasn't that guy. It was another guy by the name, I think it was Tenenbaum, who went to Alaska and dug up dead bodies from the 1918 flu and brought that back here. So, you know, hopefully people will eventually say, why are they doing these things? You know, there's only one obvious reason, because they're creating disease. That's why I call the CDC, the Centers for Disease Creation.
Right.
Because they're creating all these things. It's not about finding answers to anything. That's so obvious.
Well, I know you've mentioned before Plum Island there in Greenport, New York.
Actually, it was on Plum Island. It's being moved to Kansas. I'm not sure how much progress has been made.
They're moving it to a campus on Kansas State University in Manhattan, is what the report says here. The Department of Homeland Security is building it, and they have $54 million approved for the construction. And they're building it on a site that has been known to have earthquake fault lines.
Excellent. I mean, you know, it makes pure common sense if you're a psychopath. First of all, you know, to have a laboratory like this is totally insane to begin with. It was bad enough when it was on its own little island, which, you know, Hannibal Lecter mentioned in The Silence of the Lambs. And that was bad enough. And, of course, there's a very excellent book, Lab 254, talking about how obviously that's where Lyme disease came from, whether it was intentional or by mistake that it was released. And it went right across the sound, and, you know, first reported case was in Lyme, Connecticut. But
right.
Now they're going to put this laboratory, which works with viruses like the one that causes foot and mouth disease, which is extremely bad for animals like cows, in an area that, you know, basically is like beef country. So it's the same as building nuclear reactors in the most earthquake-prone part of the world, Fukushima, Japan. You know, these are the monsters that are controlling our world.
Well, let me ask you. Lyme's disease. What level of virus, bio level, was that? Do you remember?
Well, it's actually not a virus. It's a bacteria. It's a family from a family of bacteria called spirochetes, very much like syphilis.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Plum Island is a biowarfare lab number, or level 4. That's what most of these biowarfare labs are for. But, you know, what does it take to become a 5? I don't know.
Well, that's what they plan to do with this new Kansas City one. It's going to be a level 3 and 4 bio level laboratory.
Right. And the way they're selling it to the people in the area, I'm sure, is it's going to bring jobs. We're going to have lots of people that have jobs. Well, isn't that great? Until something happens. and something is released. And, of course, they always have their plausible deniability, and even if something is released, they'll deny it. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. But like I've said on the show many times, we have 1,300 of these biowarfare labs throughout the United States, and they send their creations back and forth to each other by Federal Express. So whenever you see a Federal Express truck going by your neighborhood, you know, just realize what could be on board.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're supposed to mark those things hazardous, I would think. And does
well, you can't see what's in the truck from your house. And actually, the way I found out about that was a few years ago, there was an accident in Canada where a truck carrying some of these specimens, you know, got involved in a motor vehicle accident, and they actually had to cordon off the entire community until they made sure that there hadn't been, you know, a leak of the organisms, whatever they were, from the biohazard packaging. And after I found out about that, I went to my local Federal Express, you know, place, and I asked them, you know, I said, do you actually allow people to send, you know, hazardous biomaterials from place to place? And the answer was yes. I mean, they knew that this is something that happened. So, I mean, how do you make sure there's not going to be a problem? I mean, do you double bag it? I mean, you know, it's ridiculous.
Well, how else do you transport that stuff if you're transporting it from lab to lab? How, you know, I mean, I guess there is no safe way.
Of course not. Because there's always a way that, you know, the package can be breached. But, see, I like to go to the big picture level. Why are you transporting this stuff in the first place? You're trying to scare us that, you know, Osama bin Laden's terrorists are going to be coming here and exposing us to biowarfare pathogens? Well, I'm more worried about Federal Express than I am, you know, some terrorist, quote-unquote. But, of course, it's very obvious on my DrCarly.com site. I have actually the legal definition of weapons of mass destruction from, you know, the law books here in North Carolina, but it's true in almost every state. I haven't had a chance to check it out, but I'm sure it's pretty much all the same. And when you read the definition of weapons of mass destruction, basically, you know, vaccines fit right into that. So, you know, basically any biological agent that can cause death or serious disability. So.
And you've often said, you know, vaccines are an assault. They are.
Yes, they are.
So, yeah, and
they're in your pediatrician's office.
Right, and lately in the news, I've been hearing more and more states getting a bit more aggressive with their vaccine programs, and actually just, you know, going to the homes of these students that are, I guess, behind on their vaccination records, and with law enforcement officers escorting them to, I guess, forcibly intimidate the parents into vaccination.
Right. And you know, basically what I tell parents, what I would do if I was you, first of all, you know, if you can homeschool your child, that's the way to go, in my opinion. Because once they go to school, there's more and more schools now that are contracting with private medical contractors and actually giving children vaccines in school without the parents even knowing what's going on. But, yes, in fact, I would consider it an assault. I would react the same way as if they came to my house with a gun and said, we want to shoot your child in the head. It's the same thing. They're risking the life and limb of your child. And, of course, when there's a reaction, they always deny that it's the vaccine that's causing the problem, no matter how fast it happens. It's like, oh, it can't be the vaccines because vaccines are safe. It's unbelievable.
Well, you're a former surgeon from New York State, and
uh-huh.
You have mentioned before that, you know, your medical textbooks, which you still are in possession of,
yes.
Have said, you know, when you were in medical school, certain people should not be vaccinated, and now they're reversing that. Like pregnant people. Women are being vaccinated left and right now with flu vaccine when they're pregnant. And
right.
That was a big no-no. What else was a big no-no when you were learning your medicine about vaccines?
Well, I not only have all my books from medical school, but I have all my notes and transcripts of lectures as well. And that's where I go to find the lies. And two groups that we were told never to vaccinate back in the early 80s when I was in medical school in Brooklyn, where, as you said, pregnant women and children under 6 months of age. I have not been able to find out how they twisted that around. You know, I would love to find some young medical student to ask that question, like, what are they telling you is the reason that it's okay to do that, you know, because it's totally insane.
Well, and because I remember I had, you know, like a 10-year gap between my children, and this is before I knew anything about vaccines. I wish I had known you then, Dr. C. But, you know, my oldest boy, now 27, 28, you know, he got his first vaccine when he was like 6 months. And then by the time his brother was born 10 years later, you know, it was like, you know, immediately first day here breathing air, you get the hepatitis vaccine right there in the, you know, in the nursery. So within a 10-year gap, it went from, you know, no vaccines until the child is, you know, probably, you know, maybe weaned off breast milk or somewhere near there, and to, oh, no, even before he nurses, let's give him a vaccine.
Right. Well, you know, because these newborns are having orgies and shooting up heroin in the nursery. I mean, you know, the whole thing is so ridiculous. And if you'd have known me back then, I was totally, you know, in the dark about all this as well. I didn't learn about what vaccines are capable of doing until my only child was brain damaged from vaccines. He turned 16 in February. So I didn't know anything either, and that's how I learned. Because once that happened, and then I learned how to reverse the problem with natural therapies, and that's how I started doing my work in my Hippocrates Protocol, you know, that's when I started researching this black hole that is vaccines. And there is so much evidence. You can't even imagine how many articles have, in fact, been published on vaccines causing all kinds of autoimmune diseases. But, you know, the you know, everyday, you know, John Doe doctor doesn't know anything about this. It's not even discussed in medical school. We don't learn a darn thing about what vaccines actually do to the immune system.
So your son was injured by the vaccines. Now, did he have like an encephalitis? What were his symptoms?
Well, actually, he, you know, many people assume he was autistic. He was not autistic. He was very, very sick. He had constant ear infections and always had some kind of infection going on. But the way I knew he had been brain damaged was after I detoxed his vaccines with homeopathy, he became a different child. So it wasn't like he wasn't one of these children that had the high-pitched screaming and the arching of the back and those different signs of encephalitis. But it was after I reversed, you know, the vaccine, that's when I saw that he was brain damaged because he became a different child.
Right.
But, so since that time, I've, you know, been doing this for 15 years, and so many children. It's just unbelievable. And it's getting worse every day because they keep adding more vaccines to the mix.
Right. And aren't kids given eczema by being vaccinated, and shouldn't kids that do have eczema not be revaccinated?
Right. Well, see, they don't admit that eczema is caused by vaccines. Eczema is just one of many, you know, autoimmune problems of the skin. Eczema, psoriasis, and scleroderma are the three vaccine-induced diseases of the skin. And, you know, each one affects a different layer. So, yes, in fact, eczema is definitely from vaccines. And there's actually a condition known as eczema vaccinatum, where people that get smallpox vaccines that have eczema, I mean, and this is very often fatal, the smallpox vaccine virus spreads throughout the whole body, and their entire body breaks out with smallpox lesions.
Wow. And that usually smallpox isn't all over the body. It's kind of, you know, trunk and arms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I had learned that was at one time, you know, if you had a condition of eczema or eczema, that was an out for you from getting further vaccines, but I guess not anymore, huh?
Well, what's really amazing is that there's two really important cases out of the vaccine courts on my reversing vaccine-induced diseases.com website on the vids page, one of which is this child, Hannah Poling, that they did admit that her autism was from vaccines, and they claim it was from a mitochondrial defect that she had, the mitochondria being the powerhouse of the cell. Now, I'm sure she does have a mitochondrial defect, and I'm sure that it was caused by vaccines to begin with. But you see, if they're going to admit that a mitochondrial defect makes you more likely to have a severe side effect of a vaccine, then why aren't they testing children's immune capability before they shoot them with any of this crap?
Well, I'm sure that would be expensive.
I don't care. I mean,
I know, but that's probably the reason they give. It's sort of like, you know, kid comes into the office, has an ear infection, and they give him an antibiotic, but they don't know if it's a bacterial infection. They'd have to actually extract fluid and test it. And, you know, that's just, you know, uncomfortable, time-consuming, and expensive. So let's just give you the antibiotic and let us know how you do.
Right. It's amazing because when I went to medical school in the early 80s, it was still, now as I look back, you know, very much corrupt. But at least back in those days, you know, we took cultures from people. You know, if somebody was suspected of having pneumonia, you would get a sputum culture from them, a sputum sample, you would culture it. You would actually see what the bacteria was.
Mm-hmm.
You might start them on antibiotics, but you would make sure that whatever bug it was sensitive to the antibiotics. Just like you said, they never do that anymore. They just stick you on whatever.
That's right. Well, you know, before you came on the show, the first part of the segment we were doing on, you know, how dangerous it is to go to the hospital, you know, if you had to stay in the hospital. And I went over a lot of information, some data, and the minimum risk, Dr. Carley, is you have a 44% chance, and this is from medical studies, from the horse's mouth, you have a 44% chance of having an adverse event if you go to the hospital, and that's the minimum. So,
right.
You know, I'm sure in some places it may be over 50%. And they also determined that the third and fourth leading cause of death in the United States is from your allopathic medical physician and the prescriptions they write. So I just thought that was interesting.
Well, I would say it's probably much higher than
yep.
that, actually. What I always tell people, the only reason I would ever go to a hospital is for an emergency, you know, mostly trauma. And if you have to go to the hospital, if you're in a car accident or something, you really need to have somebody there guarding you 24/7 and watching over what they're doing and asking hard questions because, yes, in fact, it is extremely dangerous. But, you know, there's still going to be exposure to the superbugs and all the rest of it. And also very important is to read the admission forms because people do not realize when they just sign those forms without reading them what they're actually signing. They actually state in those forms they can do whatever they want. Okay, so if you don't want to be an experimental lab rat, you better, you know, cross that part out and initial it. Because if you don't, that's what you're going to be.
Well, we're just about out of time, Dr. Carley. I want to give the folks your number. If you need to reach Dr. Carley, you can reach her at 888-321-6751. That's 888-321-6751. Of course, you can click her banner at thepowerherbs.com. to get to her website. And thanks so much, Dr. Carley, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy, for all your good work. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, guys, I'm out of time, but you know what? Coming up next, Coveter's Call with Pastor Mike Hoover, so stay where you are. The information presented is not intended to or designed to treat, prevent, cure, medical disease, you know, any disease, so seek medical advice if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before doing anything. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.